Blog Talk Radio.
Has your soul been longing for a greater revelation of God and His Word as you study, teach, and pray? Have you noticed an unexplained desire lately to learn more about the Jewishness of the Gospel? Well, get ready, because this desire will be set on fire as you begin to dig deeper into the study of the Jewish roots of our Christian faith. The Lord has ignited Rabbi Hanna Josue with a passion for prayer. It's in our mandate to raise a kingdom of intercessors.
Bless all you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with His commandment and command us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Amen.
You've tuned in to the best
Blog Talk Radio show
with Rabbi Hanna Josue.
We are so excited to have everybody to have you with us on this evening. We want to welcome you to Rabbi Hanna Josue's Blog Talk Radio Show's round. As always, it is a pleasure and an honor to have each and every one of you to join us. And just in case you want to know what's going on, we are discussing the Sweep Your Brain series. Dr. Josue has been teaching a series about sweeping the mind and sweeping your lifestyle and detoxing your mind and lifestyle over the things that we've picked up over a period of time. And so what we do at the roundtable discussion, we discuss how the course, or the most recent course, or the course as a whole, how it has impacted each and every one of us. And it also gives an opportunity for Dr. Josue to pour more, to give more, to elaborate, for us as a class and a body to collaborate on the things that we're learning in class. So just in case you want to get caught up, we do want you to know that we are actually hosting every Saturday, every Shabbat, up until the leading class. So we need you to call us or visit us at, or send us an email at houseofstudy@josueenterprises.com, or give us a call at 214-637-1400. So without any further ado, let's welcome Dr. Hanna Josue into the front. So Dr. Josue, everybody has something to say about what's going on in this class and the impact that it's having on each and every one of us. But right now, we want to hear from you.
And I am just, like, really excited about this moment that God has created. Even this moment, I believe that I see everything as a teaching tool and a teaching moment, that God has created this space for us. And those of us that could Shema, that have an ear, is able to respond to that moment. And I believe I've taught this several times, that God moments that He created in time are like clouds. It continued to move. It continued to change shapes. It continued to adjust. The cloud doesn't stay the same. But whatever that's in the cloud, if you get under the cloud, as the children of Israel have done, you'll be able to receive what He has in that pocket of that time. And we have to be honest. Sometimes we're not conscious of these moments and to catching these time, these celebration of time, I call it, in time to be able to partake or to attach to that time. We're so behind sometimes after God have left and the shape has been changed, then we want to run and say, "Oh, let me do this, and let me be part of this." It's gone. It's over. It's something else now. You missed it.
Yes.
So this is a moment in time that God has created in this round table. I don't know how long God is going to allow this moment for us to sit around this table and have Torah study. I just want to say, for those of you who heard and who's been faithful in coming, and I just want to speak blessings and blessings over you and a thousand times more that you have an ear to hear,
yes,
to be able to catch what God is doing, and not to allow your lifestyle or your circumstances or whatever that is to become a block to tell God, wait a minute, I'll be back, or wait a minute, I have to do something else. And that's what we're telling God, and we're just not realizing that we're doing that. So I just want to bid a thousand times blessings upon all of you who have an ear to hear to be able to be part of this moment with God, not knowing what God is going to do, what you're going to be imparted, what transformation is going to be, take place. Sometimes we don't even understand why, just to hear God, and that's what we call blind obedience.
Yes.
That God is trying to teach us, so when it comes to when he speaks, you won't stop and say why, you'll just move.
Yes.
So I just wanted to establish that first before we get started. So I just
thank
wanted
you
to say that, because that
thank
was on my
you
mind,
thank
my heart.
You.
So
thank
I praise
you
God for that. Because that's the reason I'm able to be part of the vessel that God can create that, because that's my lifestyle. That's from the time that I've gotten it saved. It's been my lifestyle that God has taken me into these different places in time, into the front of different people in time, and don't know how long these people are going to be part of my life, that he put me part of their life for them to impart and teach me, and don't know, my train keep moving. But I want to just thank the Lord for giving me enough common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it just takes common sense,
yeah,
to know,
yeah,
that God is the creator of all things. He's my creator, that if he created me and I'm praying for him to teach me my purpose and guide my footstep daily, that I have to trust that everything that stands in my way is part of the plan. And if it wasn't part of the plan, it'll become part of the plan, that it will work out for my good. So that's the reason why I am partaking in that. I guess that match, now that I'm seeing that, it matches what we're going to talk about. Because I wanted to talk about mentorship, and Linda was still going to answer that question. That question is going to tie it in, it always do,
mm-hmm,
in what we're going to talk about. Mentorship, that is part of the mentorship program, that I have to know the type of anointing, even as a leader, that I carry to be able to mentor people.
Yes.
And so and I have this little cloud anointing that it only lasts for a minute if you don't catch it, and you just miss it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the type of anointing that I carry. So that is part of what, when you're being mentored by certain people or certain, anointed vessel of God, that you have to know what type of anointing that they carry. That I've always said that I don't have that wait a minute type of anointing. I'll be right with you. It's gone. It's over. Hasta la vista is something else, right?
Yes.
It's a different shape. A different color. So, and that's what I really want to focus on, even through the scripture, continue from last week. Remember last week, question about how do we stop sinning against God? Did that help everybody?
Yeah.
Did y'all implement anything?
Yeah.
I want to hear one testimony, one something.
Yeah.
Well, not the testimony, something that your aha moment is your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that revelation, whenever the light penetrates into your ignorance, which is your darkness,
mm-hmm,
that's an aha moment. And I want to be able to hear that. I want to be able to hear what aha moments you had from last week of what can you do to stop sinning against God. What was that penetration that took you to the mountaintop and said, oh, my God, I didn't realize that, and that caused your mind to transform and really actually caused you to detox?
I think that oftentimes we
go ahead. Go ahead.
Oftentimes we just simply forget or don't even think about our brother and our sister. And when you first mentioned that question, how can we stop sinning against God? You know, I'm thinking, wow, it's got to be something big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then come to find out, we sin against God by not treating our brother and sister right. And so based on that, then I've learned to consciously pay attention to how I'm treating people now. And used to, I didn't, well, I cared, I guess, but maybe I didn't. But now
you care to the level that you thought you understood.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that kind of, you know, helped me to reevaluate a lot of things, mm-hmm. and particularly how I treated and still treat my brothers and sisters.
That's good. I like that.
I'm more open, you know, now to their being, I guess you will, instead of just running away and, you know, like, hollering.
Exactly. So that was the aha moment that you went to another level of understanding, said, oh, my God, and you became conscious and aware of this particular thing was an offense against God and you weren't aware of it. Because that moment, that's the aha moment. That's the light. That's the truth that penetrates the darkness, which is our ignorance. And the sad part is when that happens and we still make the choice of not changing. Because it's not magic. Once God opened up your mind and made you conscious, the rest of it is up to us. And sometimes we're still making the decision of not implementing that light, that understanding. So to implement it is the next step. Anybody else?
Well, I can tell mine.
Once you have been made aware of being sinned against God by through his people,
it just don't open up an eye for the way we treat our brothers and sisters. It opened up an eye for everything that you're doing. Even as I was coming here today, God took me right to Brother Wilson because he had already had me in the lane to stay in as I was traveling to the broadcast. Instead of me staying in the lane that God had already told me to get in, because he told me get in this lane, get in your far right lane. Stay right here, drive down the service road, you be where you need to be. Oh, no, me? I said, no, I'm going to make a right and get over to my left lane, then turn to where I need to go. As soon as I turned, I said, okay, God, I'm sorry. So sorry, Lord. Now I understand. Understand exactly what Brother Wilson was saying. Once God gives that commandment, if you're not paying attention, you will miss it. And it was just like I missed it because I made a right instead of me using my conscious mind. I used my unconscious mind and said, okay, I'm going to turn. So I had to apologize.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's a conscious moment where we're aware that we put ourselves first, our thought, our desires, what we want to do first before God. Does that make sense?
It's maybe like a lot of things. I forgot one thing. In the midst of me turning, a car flipped over behind me.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. It's leaning on its eye.
Wow.
I mean, it's all the way over. Yeah. It's all the way over.
Top.
On the top.
Yeah.
He always answers the question before the question comes, doesn't he?
Amen.
We're just not aware of the answers because it's like this. When the answer comes, we ask, what are we supposed to do with that piece? Because it doesn't fit anything because the question have not yet arrived.
Yeah.
And because we miss the training, the mentorship training in how to take these answers, not look for the question. If you don't see the question, it's coming, and how to put them in places to know that the question is coming. I just need to follow the answer. It's almost like the same concept of Hebrew, really. That's the rest of the Hebrew Jewish perspective is the foundation of our Christianity, and they say, and if we keep running away from it, we just run away from a whole lot of answers. Just like in Hebrew, the symbolic of our language starts from the right to the left, and to English it seems backward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even when you're learning Hebrew, that you have to learn how to put the words together, like in English it makes it easy to give you of, the, and a, and in Hebrew they don't do that. It's like backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're saying the good horse, but in Hebrew they'll say horse good, and you have to put it together. So in English, it seems like it's backwards. But that's the way God, that's the way we say, okay, now I'm going to go to the next lesson. That's when God said, your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my way.
Yes.
So we have to get out of our way and to go into his way. What is his way? I wonder what that is.
Yes.
It's Jewish perspective.
Yes.
Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we have to go in there to find out what exactly, how do you think? How do you see? What is your perspective, God? Because the Western perspective that I've learned, obviously, is not the way you think.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Very much.
So I'm glad that helped last week. We're still gonna go with this one, but the question I believe Elder Janice put on last week was at the end we were talking about being mentor. We were using the scripture about the evil spirit that came from Saul. That even if the person was is acting the way they're acting, that even that spirit could still be a tool to mentor you. And I believe you put in a question on the table. What about the scripture? Can you say the scripture?
The scripture is coming from Galatians 5:26. For a moment, it says, "Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other."
Okay, and you said I'm going to give you the opportunity to really ask the question again. And what were you coming from in asking that question?
I think you wrote the question down. I don't remember how I versed it.
From what I could remember that you said, what about, because the spirit that we were talking about that came from Saul, that could help mentor or someone, and we said, well, the spirit came from God, and then you said, well, the Bible said that we shouldn't provoke one another. I believe that's where the question came from.
Yes.
So we want to talk about that.
Yes.
So what does that mean? But here's this. My perception, even in building character, because that's what we're talking about at the end, that we were saying that it does not matter in anybody's character, anybody's flaws, and we were saying that even the evil spirit that came from Saul to David can help build your character. Now, if we take that out of content and saying, Galatians said, well, the Lord said, don't provoke one another. What is provoking? What does the word provoke mean? The word provoking means to challenge. It means to conflict, to bring conflict. So what does that scripture mean from that content? Because otherwise, what happened, and I want y'all to learn this in Bible study, that if you don't use the scripture in a proper context, then it's going to contradict other scriptures. So if we said, okay, let's not provoke one another, make each other angry, stir up, because it means to stir up, to engage in conflict, to make angry. What does it mean in that context? Because even though my thought is, it does not matter if a spirit came from God or the person provoked you, which, of course, I'm coming back to the scripture, where the scripture said don't provoke one another. My focus is your reaction towards whatever that is. What I think is not wise sometimes is when we're looking. It's almost like when we're pointing fingers, and I'm saying that it's symbolically, to what you should act like according to what the Bible said. But we're not looking at ourselves and what my reaction should be, and that's where my focus is on your reaction towards whatever that is. Whether it's a spirit like Saul, whether it's a person's bad character,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, okay, the Bible said don't provoke, but then how do you react towards the person that did provoke you?
Mm-hmm.
Is God going to excuse us in our reaction because he said don't provoke one another?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
You mean is he going to excuse us just how we react to that person that provoked us?
Yes.
If we act... I don't know if ungodly is a good word, or we act wrong.
Ungodly.
Yeah.
That's a good
word. Well, in a way that I would describe that as appropriate or inappropriate sometimes, depending on the situation, based on what you just said. To me, I look at that like, you know, sometimes it's appropriate for me to have a conversation with you, but in other places or environments it's not the appropriate thing.
Is that the provoking you're saying? Is that what the provoking means?
That's not what provoking is. I think provoking is just like you said, you can become ungodly or you can say godly. Because sometimes it all depends on the situation. It all depends on how that person pushed you. And, I mean, they could have pushed you all the way to the end if you feel like you're at the end, and then you come back out fighting. And when you come out fighting, you might come out fighting, and it could be ugly. I mean, the words you might say come out ugly. That's not godly, because God said that We are supposed to respect one another and love one another. So if we're loving each other, we're not going to say nothing that's harmful to each other. But then the other side, where Elder Janice was saying, then the other person was saying through the scripture that they're not supposed to provoke one another. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
I think that the question, I think the question had stemmed from us saying, "Well, is everything that happens to us, that people do to us in a wrongful manner, is it always God's doing?" And that's where the question stemmed from, is everything that happened to us, that other people do to us, is it all coming from God? Because if so, then, you know, I posed that question because I really didn't really, I won't say understand the statement, but initially didn't agree with it all coming from God. So that is why that question was posed.
Okay. Well, I don't think we said that all of it was coming from God. I used the example of Saul, of the character building, that there is a time that God would whether allow. Even if you look at the scripture with Saul, when it says the spirit of God, the bad spirit came from Saul, when you study that scripture, it actually really means that Saul had a bad character, so it was easy for him to be used. That's basically what it means. But what I don't want you and a lot of people to make that mistake, that to dissect your time of your making, whether this is God, this ain't God, whether it's God, the devil, or the person's flesh, our reaction is what really counts towards God. So even if it's not God that have sent the spirit, but what also I wanted to make the point that sometimes we call everything the devil that God have allowed or it came from God that we totally reject it and speak death to it, we praying against it. And I'm like, you don't even know if that was God that allowed that for your making. Mm-hmm. And none of us actually know. Now, that brings a question to me. With that question, because I found some other scripture that also said, that spoke about provoking. When the Bible spoke about the children obey your parents and everything for displease the Lord. Father, don't provoke, which is irritate, the same word as irritate your children and make them resentful or they will become discouraged. The whole thing is, slaves, obey your human masters in everything, nor serving only when they are watching you. So the whole scripture together, if you just break down that little part and say, well, Father, you know, the Bible said don't provoke me, don't irritate me because you're going to discourage me. That's taking it out of whole context. Do you understand what I'm saying? What is he saying in Ephesians 6 and 4 says, fathers, don't irritate your children and make them resentful. Instead, raise them with the Lord's kind of discipline and guidance. Mm-hmm. Now, the child could call the discipline irritating. Now, what child is going to know whether this is from God or this is my father irritating me? Mm-hmm. That's where I am. Wow. How the child going to know? Wait a minute, let me, because the Bible says you're not supposed to irritate me. How are you going to dissect what your father only? Do you understand what I'm saying? How are you going to do that? And what energy and time do you have for you to stop and try to figure out if your mother and father irritating you or is this a discipline from God? Because no discipline, because there's another scripture that says no discipline feels good. So because it don't feel good, you're going to call it irritating. When my mother used to call me all the time, hey, they were calling me, I'm like, to me that was irritating. You know what I'm saying? Do this, do that. Wash the dishes. Blah, blah, blah. That was very irritating. I could have used that scripture and said, Mommy, the Bible said, do not irritate your children. Yeah. But you see, so when we take that scripture, we can't take it out of context, right? Because otherwise we're going to use it what's best for us. So in the character building, whether it's from God, you're irritating me, or whether it's, I can learn from whatever that is, I can learn a lesson. That's why we are student of life. There's nothing that could happen on this earth that I cannot learn from.
Right. Even your bad attitude.
Right.
Even your nasty disposition. Even you falling into, I don't care what it is, I can learn from whatever that is. Yeah, you irritated me. Yeah, you provoked me. Yes, but I can learn from it. Now, here's another side. As a mentor, I am to provoke you. I am to irritate you. I'm going to irritate anything that does not come in agreement where you're going. So when you irritate, you provoking, you poking at the person, come on, come on, what is your reaction?
Mm.
Well, the Lord said for you not to irritate me, really? the way I look at it as a mentor, so you're going to come in with your already described paper from heaven to tell me this is what I need not to do to for me not to irritate you.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Let me ask the question. So by our sister and brother irritating us and provoking us, doesn't that fall in with iron sharpening iron?
Oh, that's a very good one.
Very good, honey.
That is very good. Yes, sir.
When what position are we in when this situation happened with our brother, but then we get on the fence and we get offended because they did that? You know, because I've seen even with myself when they're provoking, even if it's from a leader, when they started provoking you, then you become defensive.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And so what I'm asking, where is that putting us? What kind of relationship is that putting us? Or what area are we crossing? What barrier are we crossing?
What barrier are we crossing when we provoke them?
We're not,
when we get offended.
When we get offended. When our leader provoke us, and we should accept the discipline. We automatically go on defense because we don't like the situation. It's uncomfortable. Or even if it's one of our brother or sister that's correcting us in a situation that we know inside we know we're wrong, but we're offended by it. And so, to me, I'm thinking we're sinning somewhere. We're disobeying. We're talking about love your neighbor. I mean, what am I doing to provoke my neighbor?
Well, again, now here goes my next question. That takes you to a whole lot of questions. Well, then that takes me to a place where I'm supposed to love my neighbor. What does that mean, loving your neighbor? Does loving my neighbor mean that I'm supposed to accept everything that you do and not correct you? Is loving your neighbor meaning that I'm not supposed to tell you the truth? But some of our mindset, that's where we are. If you make me mad or you say something I don't agree with, that is my perspective of you not loving me.
Wow.
But the Bible said that what it said about a friend's kiss or a friend's wound and the kiss of an enemy.
Yeah.
A friend's wound is better than the kiss of an enemy.
Yeah.
So how do you put that then? Where do you put that scripture? That if I am your friend, if I am to love you, I am to tell you the truth, and the truth will bother what you already have or your perspective you're living by. It's going to bother your lifestyle. It's going to bother your mindset. It's going to bother the way you think and the way you see things. And you're going to get irritated because now you're taking me out of my comfort zone and bringing this truth. And I was happy in this darkness of ignorance. And then now you bring, so I'm seeing you now as an enemy and saying, the devil I bind you in the name of Yeshua. And you're not my enemy. I mean, you're my enemy. You don't love me. And so it's how we see, what does that mean, loving me? Loving me means I'm supposed to accept you the way you are. And listen to it. Accept you in your wrong.
Yes.
Accept you in your sin, which is not the same in loving you where you are. It's not the same. I can love you where you are, but I am not going to love what you do and accept what you do and agree with what you do. And if the moment comes for me to tell you the truth, I am to tell you the truth in love, but I'm going to tell you the truth.
Mm.
But we don't see the love because we're mad because you're disturbing where I am.
Right.
So we change the perspective and say, you must don't love me.
Mm.
You don't respect
yeah.
me.
And,
exactly. So the focus should be on the attention of where the person just brought the truth to you. Whether it was done right, love, but it's still the truth. The old people said, well, when people paint your house, don't give them the paint. You gave them the paint, and the paint they're calling red is actually red, so why are you mad?
Right. If they said the house is red, and you met, how did they go out? But isn't the house red?
Yeah, but.
So that's what we do. We don't want, so I want y'all to be aware of that because that's what we do. Forget about the truth that was just told. But it's the person that bought it, you mad. How they bought it, they mad. The level they bought it, they mad. I mean, all of that. Is, so you're really looking for excuse not to hear the truth.
Yeah.
Say that again.
You're really looking for an excuse not to hear the truth.
Oh,
I'm saying, point it back to you. It doesn't matter if it was the devil, it was the cat or the dog. The truth is the truth. If they brought the truth to you, you take the truth. That's what I'm saying. The spirit came from Saul, it came from David, it came from whoever it is, whether through the Bible, through hell or heaven. It does not matter. It matters about your perspective, your reaction towards what was done or what was said. And as you were saying, okay, if you get an offended, maybe you need to deal with that spirit of offense.
Yeah, that's good.
I thought maybe when you get offense, that means that what I said to you is stuck. So it means it must have some value.
Exactly.
Because you got offense.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
Because if it makes you wrong, why are you getting mad if I'm wrong?
Right.
Mm. Well, I must say I get mad because how they said
it. I cannot lie.
Not, you know, sometimes when we get familiar with each other, we get on the level, we let our guards down, and then if somebody tells you about yourself, then you automatically you don't see yourself. You see what they do.
Right.
So that's all true. You know, a place where I am at, trying to stay conscious. You don't have to always pull out a knife gun and go, you know.
But we always say that, you know, this person always says at the wrong time. Exactly when is the right time to tell you the truth?
Wow.
When is the right time for you to tell, for somebody to really tell, how you going to feel? At the right time, you're going to take it better? Give me a break.
Give me a break. But I have noticed as well that, I mean, there's a conversation that's going on, and I'm, what my part of my testimony is, I'm realizing that I always have an opportunity to make a choice and do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a full conversation going on in my head. Well, you know, you did that, huh? No.
Okay.
She does. And he ain't saying nothing. Don't worry about what you got going on, but you got to get home on right. And I said, I go out and go to the next room and still the anchor. You know, I can't believe you're going to sit there and just let us do you like that.
And you know, I'm glad you said that. Then now we have to deal with that voice.
Yeah.
What is that voice that is provoking you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Elder Jenner said that we shall not provoke one another, but let's turn it inside out. What about that thing that's provoking you to step beyond, like, let's use your example, that's provoking you to go tell the person, I can't believe you told, even though they told the truth, your reaction is what you pay for, not what the person say.
Yeah.
Even if the person provoked me, I'm not going to pay for you provoking me, but I'm going to pay for the consequences. How do I react towards your provoke?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where the consequences are going to be, is going to be heavy.
Yeah.
And sometimes, if you ever been in school that you want to fight somebody and you couldn't fight them, so you cry,
right.
That's the same concept. So you cry and they think you're scared.
Yeah.
And that makes you more mad because you don't know I'm crying because I don't want to whoop you.
I don't want to kill
you. That's the voice that you have to deal with that calls you to go back and say, don't be taking that. Why are they talking to you like that? That's the enemy we're seeing that you need to deal with. That's the one you need to buy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Provoking, the question is how we provoke our neighbor. All right. I have the biggest issue with this on driving. It ain't got to be on the freeway, but just driving, period. The people that cut you off, and, you know, we got this self-talk in the car, and we can go. And so, this past week, I consciously absorbed what I was going to say about
something. That's a good word. I like that.
Because, you know, it gets very frustrating. You know, it gets very frustrating to deal with
what do you think that is? Because are you looking at it that these people are provoking me? They're stirring up anger in me?
They're making me say things that I shouldn't say. I mean,
they're making me.
We should be able to hear you loud and clear. Hello? I hear some noise.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, what's your question?
Hi, I have a question. If you roll back a minute from a few minutes ago when you were talking about venting and our desire to vent, to get it off our chest, to get it off our shoulders so we can feel better. But what you're saying is when we do that, we are releasing things in the atmosphere. And I just wanted to see if you can elaborate more on that. The things that we are releasing in the atmosphere, is that causing, will that leave behind a residue of anger? Or can you help me out with that?
Okay, when you keep
saying that, oh, like, let's use the example that Johnny used. He had a few experiences. I'm sure he cussed the people out and said a few words, whatever it is that he released and the people didn't hear. Okay, I'm sure he felt better. You feel better, but then you forget. You just birthed something in the atmosphere. You release something in the atmosphere that's going to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
And you reap what you sow.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Your words is your seed.
Yes.
So if you release the seed, don't you think a harvest is coming?
Mm.
One way or the other, you keep talking about the devil, yeah, but who released them?
Right.
Who gave them authority?
That's why the scripture says we should put bridle on our tongue.
Ah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Because that's the seed carrier.
Yeah.
I'll put tape on my mind. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's where, now let's go back to the root. To keep all that from happening, the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart.
The mouth.
So forget about the mouth. Let's go to the root.
Yeah.
So if you start working with the character building and really, you know, transforming your heart and getting the heart of the Messiah, the mind of the Messiah, right? In your mentorship that God has given you, then you'll have to worry about what the seed that's coming out of your lips.
Right. So that's when I brought this question to the table. That's what I was pointing out there, that by being in scripture brain, the detoxing of our minds, this past week, when I would have released those things into the atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
my conscience said, no, it suppressed those things. So, and I'm looking like, wow, you know, I know I wanted to say something.
But your conscience pressed it and did not say it.
Didn't allow me to say it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was like a great lesson, because we could look and say, well, the old me would have.
Right.
And then now the new me, the new nature that you are evolving to be, is like, oh, my God, now I don't have to say nothing. Oh, my God, I don't get as angry. Oh, my God, I don't get offended. And like certain people will say certain things to you and you just get mad and And then now you're learning to, you know what, I could see some truth in that. I really, or maybe that, I need to just put that and just think about it a little bit more. Maybe there's some truth to it that I'm not able to see at the time. We reject the truth. The reason I hesitate, because we don't call it the truth, so we tell ourselves, I'm not rejecting the truth because that's not the truth.
So
it's like you keep having these loopholes out of your life, out of your healing. Out of you becoming a different person, you keep having these loopholes. Well, I'm not rejecting the truth because I don't feel like that's the truth.
Right.
I don't feel like. So then if you're the only one that say so that it's the truth?
Yeah. We talked a few weeks back about, you know, when these we keep adjusting by why we are right in this situation.
All the time, because we want to be right.
Yeah.
I understand, because I go through that process too. Because I'm like, no, let me explain, you know, because I was right about that. And then you forget sometimes it's not important.
No, and it's not.
And I had to get to a place of more mature. I had to become more mature. And it does not matter whether I'm right or not. But we stuck at that point that I got to prove to you. And I know all of y'all have done that.
Yeah.
But... because you just got to prove, well,
mm-hmm.
This is what I meant, this is what I said, because you're still trying to get around that you're not really wrong.
Right.
The pain of being wrong is just too great for you.
It's biting my ass.
Is that what that is? That's what that is. You can't stand if you're wrong. And that's a great pain. And you're like, that's what Jonah was talking about. That voice start coming to mind. You're going to take this. You should not take this. Because the pain of being wrong is like you go through shock. You start getting, what is that, a seizure.
Yeah.
Because, oh, my God, I can't deal with this pain of being wrong. I'm not wrong. No, I'm not. It's there for. And you just got to keep putting, because it's like the pain of being wrong is too great for you.
Let me say, I am shocked. Because I kid you not. At home in my bathroom, I have posted something I heard in my spirit, and this was it. Dear Angela, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy?
That's a teacher.
Yes, and it makes me think about something you've always taught us, and that is
sometimes the answer will come before the question. So I just wrote down what I heard, and I put it in there on my mirror, and it said, remember, it's about me. It's about love, and I, Yahweh, come first in all things at all times. And I said, well, if you think you need to remind me, okay.
But I had no idea. Write that down, because during our next class, I'm going to go further in what that means.
Oh.
So write it down.
Okay.
I mean, everything you just said.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You know, but, you know, it lets me know that this actually is, when it comes to retaliation, there's so many different levels, because sometimes we think that we can be silent and don't understand that we're still retaliating.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then there are sometimes, like with my mother.
But before you continue, I forgot I was answering the question online. Did you understand it? Did that make sense to you? Hello? Are you still there with us? I hope if you're still there, call us back. We'll apologize. We just kept going. But I hope that made sense. Go ahead.
Like with my mother, like we've kind of gotten into phases, like especially in the church where somebody offends you. We get into these matches, you know, like with my mother. I said, you know, you try to explain some things sometimes to some people, and you offend them. And I said, well, you know, if you want to be blessed, I am blessed. You know, bless you, and I am blessed. God bless you. I am blessed.
We use that as a cussing word.
Exactly.
It's the motive behind every word that comes forth out of your mouth. If you turn me down, what's your motive for turning me down? If I invited you, you didn't come, what was your motive for coming? All of it's the motive behind what you do. Why did you do that? Why did you make that choice? Would you have made that decision if I didn't offend you?
Well,
would have that decision would have been different.
Saved a lot of money.
That is true. And sometimes I'm gonna tell you this. Sometimes we build a room for offense.
Oh.
And as soon as offense comes, you put it in that chamber that you built, and then you take them one by one in retaliation. And the person could have forgot. It could have been years. It could have been months. But you go back in that room and you remember what you said. You remember when you treated me that way. You remember when you talked to me that way. And we built that chamber to just sit right there when I need you. And how much energy that we are wasting that you could have succeeded in something else, in a goal in life. But you waste time guarding that room with the spirit of offense. Like we got nothing else to do in life.
Look, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you know, I have to be honest. I'm so me sometimes. My chamber got trophies.
Oh, no, that was
I got that one. Yes. Yeah. Behind glass. Anybody else touch it? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Well, it's when we remember, when we go back into that room we built and pull something out, so we do I had an incident where a family member asked me to borrow a few dollars, very few dollars.
That's always been a problem. Well,
yeah.
You know, family don't pay you back.
Right, but almost a year ago, I asked this family member to borrow money when I was going through my sickness and stuff, and I know he had it, but he didn't give me what I asked for. He gave me a very small amount. And so, but then when he... it slipped out that I heard he loaned a stranger a lot of money. So when he asked me, you know, that thought came to mind. So I did give him what he asked for. Now, was I wrong? And I did mention it to someone else.
Yeah, because it bothered you.
Yeah.
It bothered you.
Now, did I cross a line somewhere? I mean, because I went in that room, right? And got that, pulled that back out.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Because, see, the Bible said to whom much is given, much is required.
Right.
You've been giving and understanding a level that he may not have.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you're responsible for that because you knew better.
Yeah.
The person don't know better, so they did according to their level of understanding.
Yeah.
You can't hold it against them because they operated according to the level. But what we do, we hold people up.
Well, I felt like he did me wrong.
Repeat again?
I felt like he did me wrong at a time of my need.
We don't feel like he did. Mm. to his perspective is his understanding, he don't feel like he did. And what you did, your expectation of him was wrong because you expected more from him than what he was able to give, not money,
yeah,
out of his heart.
Yeah.
You expected more. You shouldn't have. You should. That's the part where I was talking about loving people just where they are and not expecting any more. And we get disappointed because they don't act like us. I gave you 100, but you gave me 50. That's not right. But I have a mind of $50. So why would you expect 100 when my mind, my level, only go up to 50?
Mm-hmm.
So now you become wrong because you are pulling something out of me that I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Where you should accept the person where they are and be okay with it until they get to that point one day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do every day. We keep putting this standard on other people. Act like me. I did it. Why can't you do it? I said it. Why can't you say it? I asked it. Why can't you treat it? I love you this way. Why can't you love me that way? And that's what I didn't tell you to love me that way. You did that.
You come with all my business.
Okay.
Is there a place where you can just cut them off?
It's the motive. It's the motive. If it comes to a point where you feel like, you know what, this person is taking too much out of me, I'm not able to do that, you don't cut them, don't talk to them no more. You just come to a point that next time they ask you, say, you know, I really don't have that right now. I'm not able to do that at this time.
Yeah.
And you still do that in love. You still do that in kindness. It's a decision that you make within. But our tribe don't like that. We like to let the people know that I made a decision about you, that I'm cutting you off because you took my money and you didn't give me my money, and I'm going to let you know. Our tribe loves you.
Yes, let me say it now.
You know what I'm saying? We want to get the glory for that.
Yes.
So that's a practice, that we have to practice that. The motive, that secret motive. There's people that I have done things for that this particular person I'm not gonna do no more. They don't even know it.
Right.
I don't treat them different. I'm just not gonna be able to do that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna change. I'm changing my attitude, my yes, my no's, my maybe. They don't. Person don't know that.
Yeah.
But just our relationship changed based on the decision that I make. But I'm not gonna tell you that.
Okay. So you saying put the megaphone down?
Yes.
And stop making a declaration that
that's right.
I cut you off.
That was a good one. I like that right there.
Okay.
You have a question online?
We do have a question online, and we'll go ahead and take that question, and we'll go right into the commercial.
Listener, I have a question. It goes back to what Rabbi was saying earlier about being provoked, because that's how I was feeling a little bit earlier today. And it took me to anger, but after I went through the anger, I had to look into myself to see was it true or not. And then it took me to God. So the question is, when you say provoke, I think in a provoking way, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad, but if you know how to sort of like challenge it, to take it to God instead of, you know, relashing out or telling somebody how you feel or whatever, or what they said, you might then take it, take it the way they was saying it. But, you know, I had to take mine from the anger and then go to God with it and, and ask him, you know, about myself. Am I really doing
exactly
that?
You are correct, because whatever that comes, even if it's the truth, You go to God and say, help me to accept the truth, because this is something that's in us that makes us angry, because we don't like the truth. I like to do what I want to do, and if you tell me I'm wrong, I'm going to be mad. That's bottom line, all of us.
Yeah.
So we just got to be honest. We don't like the truth. That's what makes us angry.
Yeah.
But we like to go to God and say, so-and-so said this to me. No, we need to go to God and say, God, help me to swallow the truth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And transform. You know what I'm saying? So that's a good one.
Well, thank you so much for the call, and thank you so much for the question. We're going to go into a commercial real quick, and we are going to come.
And we don't have time for commercial. Let's go ahead and continue on, and we'll do more commercial next time. So did you have a question?
I was going to say, when people pray, is it right for people to pray in a way that they think that they're praying for that person, but their prayer is according to their intent on retaliation?
That's a good one for next time.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take that for the table next time.
So join us and Dr. Hannah Josue at the Clarion Hotel at
1515.
At 1515 on June the 27th at 11 a.m. Saturday. Take the classes online. Come join us. We look forward to seeing you there. 214-637-1400 if you have any questions.
And I'm looking to see everyone there. I bid you shalom and wash Hodesh to everybody, and you have a very, very, very blessed month, and speak blessings over you that you will succeed and be productive this month in Yeshua's name. Shalom.
Shalom.
You've tuned in to the best Blog Talk Radio Show with Rabbi Hannah Josue.
For more information, you can call us at 214-637-1400. Has your soul been longing for a greater revelation of God and His Word as you study, teach, and pray?